Nicholas London.
And I'm Chris Watson. And you're
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of QB Talk in the Maritimes. I am Nick, joined alongside my co-host, Mr. Chris Watson. Chris, welcome to our show.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Nick.
We have got a ton of stuff to talk about, but right out of the chute, it's been a heck of a week. Nothing but positive feedback on last week's show with Sister Sandy Harding and Brother Stephen Dross. I just got to ask, man, how's the feedback been on your end?
It's been really well. I've gotten a lot of messages from a lot of members saying that they see this as a good tool for them to get some feedback and find out what's going on. They've been able to listen to it in their vehicles, at home, and everywhere. So it's been a very positive experience so far.
You know, I got to say that one of the funniest things has been for this week for me was you and I sitting down to do that intro. As you guys just heard, it's brand new. But also, in the coming weeks, you're going to hear some commercials that Chris and I did. And, you know, you got to have fun with this stuff. And we certainly have found the enjoyment in filming these shows.
Yeah, that's right, Nick. The biggest thing, you know, when we're doing these sorts of things is we want to make it a very relaxed sort of atmosphere and, you know, relate to the membership.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. Now, we got to clear some stuff out of the way. It's a big day and evening for QP 1190, as everyone knows, or most people are aware, that a lot of voting going on today. Chris, what can you tell us on that situation?
Just that we know that they've been without a contract for a few years. They held their Zoom calls the other night to go over everything with their membership. And like you said, today is the day when they're getting out to vote for that contract. So for those members who have already gone out and cast their vote, kudos to you. For those who haven't gone out, I encourage you to get out, because that's the only way democracy works.
And remember, 1190, we've got your back. And that is very important that everyone know that. And we are very proud to say that. As you guys have seen week out and week in, we have had numerous things posted right here on Keep Talking to Maritimes, showing our love and our support to 1190. So, very excited. Can't wait for the coming days to see what the end result is on that, Chris. Are you excited? Where's your head at?
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I mean, any chance you can to have the opportunity to ratify a collective agreement, it's always exciting time. It's exciting time. It's a nervous time for the leadership, but it's an exciting time as a member to know that you potentially could solidify the deal and have yourselves a contract once again.
And of course, we got to switch pages. One thing we got to talk about, the Bill 17 memo that went out earlier this week, late last week. A lot of excited people. I know we can't get into too much about it, but as people can see, we've certainly put up the memo that went out from QP. Chris, how excited are you, regardless of the situation, just to get some sort of feedback on how this is going?
I'm excited for sure. You know, sitting on the executive team, when you're dealt this kind of a card over about a year and a half ago, it's been a lengthy process that's stressed out a lot of members. And hearing that the provincial government is willing to repeal that bill is very good. It's going to allow us to move ahead.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's something that, in the coming weeks, you and I will definitely discuss more of. As of right now, though, We're just going to leave that be. Chris, the big topic tonight, that is what we're here for. And the topic tonight happens to be something that you are extremely passionate about. Why don't you tell everyone listening what tonight's topic is?
Well, Nick, you're right. It's something that I am very passionate about, and it's about activism. All of these things that we're talking about, Bill 17, ratifying collective agreements, it can't take place without activism.
I love that. That is the biggest tool that we have in our arsenal is activism. We bring everyone together. We are a powerhouse when we are all together, and we have shown it time and time again. And of course, you know, you had sent me this little video, and when you told me who it was, I couldn't help but chuckle. It is an amazing video. So if all the same with you, I'm going to air this video for you, and we're going to let our listeners and viewers all have a sneak peek.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Why that video is meaningful to you? Why is it so special?
That video right there is so meaningful to me because that was my very first rally at the New Brunswick Legislature that I ever attended. It's when I became an activist for, I would say, the very first time. I was never so moved, and I was just in awe of the amount of people that were there at that time. And hearing Brother Danny Legere, who was president at that time of CUPE New Brunswick, and seeing, as we called him, there, little Jack's not so little anymore. He's in high school, about to graduate here. But seeing him up there at that young age, working that mic and getting that crowd energized and enthused and getting myself enthused, I learned at that time that this is something I want to be a part of. Not only for myself, but my kids. So you'll see photos on Facebook and things of not only Jack and things like that, but you'll see my daughter, Monica, as well, who also grew up, I guess, in the labor movement, who used to come around with me to all these rallies and leaflets and everything else, not only for my own sector, but for everybody else's cause as well.
Little backstory, as somebody who was involved in professional wrestling, I know a little something about working the mic. And, I got to tell you, not everyone can work a mic. And that kid made some people look real bad on that mic because he could work it like there was no tomorrow. So, you know, to see that enthusiasm, that excitement, and the way that he owned that crowd and the way that crowd went with him, there's something to be said for that.
Right. And as somebody who's never been to a rally and who was just getting involved in the labor movement, when you're hearing the words, stop the war on the poor, make the rich pay, you know, that resonates with you. And, you know, when you're hearing it come from a little child kind of thing, too, it's like, OK, you know, our children do pay attention to what we do, so it's important that we project the right message. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I do believe that stop the war on the poor, make the rich pay is the right message. There was another video I took there as well, where he was yelling, tell me what democracy looks like, and, you know, and things like that. And the crowd was very, you know, boom, this is what democracy looks like. And those chants like that, I tell you, it can really almost gives me goosebumps sitting here talking about it. But those chants and things that we do, they're not just words. There's a message in every single one of them.
Couldn't agree more, which leads me to my next video. I'm going to play two of them because these are short. So I just kind of want to give people an idea. So Chris, hang with me, and then we'll be right back after this. You see, I find some of them so remarkable. I really do. And, you know, it really does show what you said about activism. And also what I said about when they all come together, you know, we're so strong when we're united as one. And we show it. And these videos are a prime example of just that.
Yeah, no, you're right, Nick. You know, and when you played the first video, that's the back of the New Brunswick legislature, and that was during the 2021 provincial strike. The amount of people that were back there and the amount of noise, the energy that was back there was just amazing. And when I left there, you know, I forget what, how many days we were on strike at that time, but when I left there, I felt like I was going to the picket line for the first time. My energy was right back up at 100%, and I was ready to go. So, you know, when we put the call out for members to, you know, come to the legislatures, go to the MLA's offices, you know, go down to do a leaflet at the ferry terminal. We did a leaflet at the ferry terminal on New Brunswick Day. There were six of us down here at the Gondola Point Ferry. And, you know, we were putting a message out. I think it was for 1190 at that time as well. So, you know, a different sector than my own. But, you know, it's important to get out and do that activism work, because that's what's going to get the message out at the end of the day. And that's what's going to make change, because at the end of the day, too, we are public service workers. So we have to inform the public. We have to make noise, and we have to show solidarity.
You know, my first rally would have been about 2 years ago. And it was up in Fredericton, and if I'm not mistaken, it was the Solidarity Rally, which I was so, I talked about it, actually, about Ashley Clark. That's why I met her for the first time. I brought that up, I think, in episode 2. And just how amazing that was to be there with all those people, to feel the energy, because, you know, you can't duplicate that. You know, you have to live in that moment. You have to feel it, the goosebumps that you get from the excitement, the roar of the crowd. It really does take you on a roller coaster of emotions. Again, I'm sorry, it lacked a better term, but there's something to be said for that when you can be in that moment.
Yeah, you're right. You know, when I'm getting messages when we're outside the legislature, when we're out there with our horn, and I'm getting messages from members that are watching it live on the internet saying, hey, I can hear you coming through the internet feed from the outside. Keep it up. That right there speaks volume in itself. So, you know, when we're talking activism, it's extremely important to get out and support not only your own bargaining team, but to support the other sectors as well. Because at the end of the day, like you said, Nick, the energy and everything you get from that makes you want to take on government, employers, anything that's being thrown at you. You know, when you see the solidarity of the labor movement, there's nothing, you feel like it's the strongest thing on the earth.
I gotta ask, because, you know, you and I have only really started talking on a regular basis over the last year. you have had the opportunity to go away so many times, whether it's Ontario, whether it's out west, whether it's been Quebec, whether it's been, you know, up north in New Brunswick, and really anywhere. Have you attended a rally in those areas, like out west or Quebec or Ontario? And if not, how much would you like to be a part of that?
Well, I will say that I have attended many rallies, actually, outside of the New Brunswick area. One of the rallies that I did attend one time was for one of the universities up in Ottawa, and it became a little, I guess, a little, I want to say a little hostile at that point. There was actually a big pickup truck that started to come barreling down the road, and I kind of froze in the middle of it. And, you know, thankfully the person stopped, but then everybody just kind of, whoop, you know, you're not moving for a little bit. So, you know, it's sometimes it can get a little scary, but just got to stand your ground, and you know, it's for the cause, and it's there's a reason why everybody's out there. You know, they're not out there because they wanted an extra break. You know, there's a reason why we're out there. So it's you know, it's important to just to stand your ground. But I've also done different ones, like you said, in Ottawa. We were most recently in Quebec for the last national convention, and on the way back walking from my hotel. From the convention center, I noticed that there was a rally for the teachers' union there, and I recognized their signs for the freshly squeezed, and they had the lemon on their signs. So I said, oh, hey, here's a protest. I know what it's for. It's in support of the teachers' union up here. So my fellow colleague, brother Darcy Barker, and I decided, hey, you know, so let's just join this cause. So we introduced ourselves to those members, told them where we were from, said we supported them. And we walked that picket line that they had going on for a little bit.
And you and I did that a few months ago, right here in St. John, where we met up twice and walked the picket line. And the thing about it is an amazing thing. And any time that you can support your brothers and sisters, colleagues, you know, your comrades, it's so important to be there and show love, show support. And it means the world to them. And, you know, people can say whatever they want, but it does. It means the world to them when you step out there and you're out of your comfort zone, but you step into theirs and you almost immediately feel that comfort.
Absolutely. And when you talked about us getting together at those at those picket lines, that was for the postal workers right here in St. John. We did it for the CUPW Fundy 105 members. And it couldn't have rained any harder that day that we were out there. So, you know, but that doesn't stop us. Rain, shine, snow, it doesn't matter. Any weather, you know, when there's an issue going on, when there's activism going on, weather doesn't come into play. When we were on strike, it couldn't have rained any harder. I think it was on Halloween. And I remember being out there with my Halloween costume on the picket line, trying to make the most of it, soaking wet. And, you know, you bring some smiles to people's faces and you just go, you know, you roll with whatever's thrown at you.
That's right. I couldn't agree more. Let's take a quick break. We got to pay some bills. We got to have some fun. And we're going to come back. We're going to play the last video. We're going to discuss it, break it down. And all that good stuff, Chris. Hang tight. We're coming right back at you. All right, and we are back here on Cupid Talk in the Maritimes. Again, I am Nick. My co-host, Chris Watson, is joining me. Chris, are you enjoying the show this far?
I am. Good thing we took that commercial break that keeps us running for another week.
Oh, it's a good thing. And you know how great is it that we are available on all major podcasts? Do you know what that means?
I know what that means. That means we're available anywhere.
Anywhere, at any time. We're like on demand.
QB on demand.
That's a nice ring. QB right? on demand.
So before we get into that other video, though, I do want to touch back on the other video that was played, because we talked about the New Brunswick legislature and the impact that that had. But there was also a video in there about the Blair Doucette Youth Summer Camp that the New Brunswick Federation of Labor holds. Since COVID, it's had a rough start getting back up. We tried to do a summit and things like that. But it doesn't mean that that the youth summer camp is necessarily abolished. It just means that it's back in the replanning stages to move forward. But as you can see in that video, that was the group of kids that were all there that had parents that belonged to the Federation of Labor as well. So they were all CUPE people. So what that means is at the Blair Doucette Youth Summer Camp, you would get kids from all around the province, from various unions who were affiliates to the New Brunswick Federation of Labor. And they would learn all about activism. They would learn about health and safety. They would learn about unions 101. They would learn about social media do's and don'ts. There was all kinds of fun things that they learned. And each one of them, what they would do is they would always do like a thank you video towards their prospective unions that helped help them attend the camp. But at the end of that camp, I tell you, there's an exciting thing that goes on, and it's the activism piece. We've seen kids come from that camp. I've had kids reach out to me later on after graduation, and they said, hey, I joined the job that had a union, and guess what? I became a shop steward. And I'm thinking, hey, that's great. How amazing is that? You know, when you come to a summer camp and you think, oh, it's going to be a camp all about unions, this is going to be boring. And I tell you, it's anything but boring. Those kids at the end of that week, they leave with so much, like we do at the end of a rally. They leave with so much energy and enthusiasm and understanding, because, I mean, we do fun things there as well. You know, we go to Magic Mountain, we go bowling, we go, you know, we do all kinds of little fun activities too. So it's not all business. But, you know, the kids there themselves, they did form their own union, Local 0001. And I will say that, and they do. They elect a president. They elected a vice president, a shop steward, a recording secretary. So they had their own little executive and everything at the camp. And, you know, and the reason I'm really talking about this camp too and activism was one year as their young worker vice president, I was there with them. And previously we used to negotiate and everything too in front of parents. So I've been on the negotiating team to negotiate the collective agreement that they have for the next year. And I've also been on the side of management at the camp as well when there was another vice president for young workers there. So we got to have a little fun with them as well. And I'll touch back on the activism piece, because one year I decided to collect all the keys. I told them that I needed one of the keys because somebody lost the key and I had to turn them all in to figure out whose key it was. Because it turned up. So anyway, they believed me for whatever reason, and I collected all these keys from all these kids, and then I ran right up to the dormitories where they were staying, and I put caution tape on it, and I put locked out 0001. I locked the local right out. I locked them right out of the dormitory. And I tell you, those kids were into a panic mode. They didn't know what the hell to do. And who came to the rescue? Brother Danny Legere, who was president at this time of the Federation of Labor, who I will say, when president of CUPE New Brunswick, used to come in and conduct the elections for the executive, but came to the rescue this time as the Federation of Labor president and brought signs and rallied them all outside, and they were doing the chant, so, solidarity, and doing the same one that I spoke about Jack earlier, talking about show me what democracy looks like. He rallied them up, and they were able to get themselves together, come back, negotiate, and we let them back in the building. Obviously, we got to let them back in the building because, you know, but still, That's what that camp taught them. It taught them, you know, how to be an effective executive. And, you know, this is what your parents and guardians and stuff, this is what we do on a daily basis. So that's why that part of the camp was just so important to me. And that's a memory that I have. I have many memories from the camp, but that's the most notable one from recent was Brother Danny Legere coming to the rescue and showing the kids what activism is all about.
That's actually really touching, man. I like that a lot. That was really good. Way to go. That was awesome. So, what do you say we play the last video? I'm going to have you break it down, explain a little more about activism, as we have done this show, and it's been great. So, hang tight. We're going to go live to that.
Rules are the same right now. They haven't changed.
Give us food! Give us food! Hey! Come on!
They're denying us food?
Denying us food. It's shocking.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Yeah. Give us food, man. Like, oh yeah. It's a basic right to have
it's
food.
It's a basic right
basic
to have
right
food.
For food.
A basic right. They have a right. Oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
this is a basic human right, boys.
What are you doing?
We're going to look at lawsuits here.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Food.
This is food.
What
a basic human right. You better call the police. I hope the police are on the way.
What are you doing? My God, we're not doing anything.
This is what the government wants to do.
This is
they're starving us like
this
they're starving the workers.
This is awful. Shame on you. Shame on you.
That is
honest to God, this is about food
shame.
For us. Shame on you.
It's a right.
It's about food.
Right.
What are you doing?
You better call your supervisors right now.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame.
All right, and we are back here on QB Talking to Maritimes. Chris, break it down for us, man. The scene that was rowdy, but effective. But break it down for me.
So for those that were there, remember this all too well. This was when, at the time, it was the Minister of Social Development, Dorothy Shepherd, and the nursing home workers were having a dispute. And they were trying to set up a meeting, and Dorothy had said at that time, you know, if you want to meet, come to Fredericton to my office and we'll meet. So they go to the office. She wasn't there. They said, well, we're not leaving until we get a meeting. And this is where the activism comes in. We're not leaving until we get a meeting. You wanted us here. We're not leaving. And they decided to occupy the office and said, you know what? We'll be right here. And that's it. So then, of course, security was called and security said, you know, if you leave, we're locking you. You're not getting back in. They said, perfect. We're not leaving. So at that time, it was, you know, everybody was allowed in and we were all, you know, the police were there and everybody had a talk and everything was nice and safe. And but then once we all left, nobody was allowed back in. And at that time, we were being told that we couldn't give any medication. We had diabetics on the inside. They were told that, nope, you're not allowed to get your medication. So we weren't allowed to bring medication to them. People were trying to drop off food for them. Obviously, people get hungry. You know, we're human. We have to eat. So people were trying to drop off food. And they said, nope, you're not allowed to have food. You can't have food delivered. You can't have food brought in. Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, the last time I checked, we live in the country called Canada. And in Canada, That's against the law. You cannot deny people access to food and medication. So it turned a little bit hostile. As you can see in the video, it was kind of the turning point of this whole sit-in. Of course, me being me decided, you know, hey, there's people coming in with passes. When that door opens, let's just throw the food inside. There's enough people in there. They can grab it, and then they can get the food, and away we go. And the people that were with me said, you know what? That's a great idea. Let's do it. Sometimes you got to be willing to take a risk. Obviously, the news cameras and everything were there as well. So you could see us holding up the food, you know, showing that we wanted to give it to everyone. And you could obviously hear the members in the back saying, you know, yeah, give us food. Like they were hungry, right? And that's when the chaos ensued as we threw it in. As you can see, one member got shoved, and it really turned into it was chaotic. It really was chaotic. There was a lot of frustration, you know, but at that time, the police were called down again. The police come down and ultimately deemed that, no, you cannot withhold medication. No, you cannot withhold food from these people. So they were able to get the things that they needed. But the activism that took place during that whole sit-in, that sit-in lasted a few days. So, you know, those members were willing to do whatever it took to show their own membership. And there was other people in there, right, from other sectors, you know, to show the membership how serious they were and what they were willing to do and how far the level of activism was to be able to get their message across. And that was huge. We had people there staying the night with propane fire pits outside to show solidarity. There was people there basically around the clock showing solidarity to the people on the inside. You know, my dad was in there at the time. He was one of the diabetics. And, you know, as his son being told that, hey, you know, you can't give your dad his diabetic medication, or, hey, you can't give your dad his food, it's... you kind of go into that protective mode a bit as well, you know, but it'd be the same for anybody that was in there, any member. You go into protective mode because, you know, once when you pick a fight with one, you pick a fight with all.
I couldn't agree more with that, man. That's right. And that is activism. That is activism. If you want to wrap it all up, you know, that is what it is. And we stand together and we fight. We're unstoppable, and we have shown it time and time and time again. So, Chris, what do you say we put a bow on this episode? We do have a couple things we need to talk about. I think one of the most important things to talk about right at this moment is next week's show being the very first live show. That's right, Chris, live. That means no mess-ups, one take. You got this.
I can do it. I think you can too.
We're going to be together. We're going to be in Moncton, week-long education. I'm excited. I love to learn. This, to me, is big. You're there facilitating. I want to talk about that next week. Facilitating is really going to be the topic next week on this show.
And the reason for that is QP New Brunswick is having their week-long education in Moncton, New Brunswick. So like Nick said, he'll be there doing all the learning, and I'll be there doing all the teaching.
Well said, brother. Now, I know you've got something on your mind that you'd like to say to everybody. Well, maybe not everybody. One specific person, so... I'm going to put the floor to you, and then I'm going to say something when you're done.
Yeah, well, you know, we were discussing earlier about tonight's episode, and took a look at the birthdays that are here today, and just want to give a special shout-out to our regional director, Sandy Harding. Again, it's her birthday today. Sandy, you look like you still belong on the Young Workers Committee. Happy birthday.
And I was going to sing for you and all this, but Chris said no. He didn't like my singing. So I'm just going to keep it simple with happy birthday, Sandy. And thank you for giving us the opportunity and the platform to bring Keep You Talking the Maritimes to everybody out there. We appreciate that. And we appreciate you.
And I will add, too, I did have somebody who was going to join us from QPPEI, Alice Rice, who was going to talk about a little bit about activism, but is currently stuck in a Toronto airport. So I will be getting a little piece on activism from her to talk about activism on Prince Edward Island. But once she gets home, nice and safe.
I couldn't agree more with that. The other thing, too, I want to mention, guys, you probably noticed it at the top of the show, was the QP Talk Maritimes logo is now in French and English. And Chris and I could not be more proud of that. And we just want everyone to know that, you know, we're trying to reach a whole demographic here all over the Maritimes and frankly, all over the country for those who are tuning in and listening, because our numbers say just that on YouTube and on Spotify. But we want to reach everyone. And in no way are we trying to be disrespectful. We are working very hard to present this show in both English and French. So we don't want anyone to think that we are not working to make that happen, because that is like right at the very top of our agenda almost daily when it comes to what we can do to better this show for you guys.
Yeah, you're right, Nick. You know, being one of Canada's only bilingual provinces, that is something that we've noted for sure. And we want to make sure that we, you know, can reach everybody, like you said, across the whole province.
Right. Now,
not only here, Chris, but in Prince Edward Island as well.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. 100%. Like I said, all over, everywhere. We want you to have it in both languages, because that's what we thrive on, your enthusiasm and all your positivity that you guys give us. But now, Chris, I know you like to do this special quote. This is your moment to shine. This is your little sunshine. So I'm going to say goodbye and thank everyone for listening. And remember, we're available where all major podcasts are. Chris, wrap it up.
So today's quote, I'm going to think about the upcoming provincial election. Sorry, not provincial, federal election. And this is a quote from the late Tommy Douglas, the founder of the NDP party. And it says, "Courage, my friends, it's not too late to build a better world."